We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
I remember talking to the guys one of the first times we met, and they said, you know, we're not in the restaurant business. We're in the making people happy business. We're in the hospitality business. And it really is core to the Mediterranean culture. And again, expressing their upbringing in a larger way and in a positive way about connecting people and through food.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today, we're talking about keeping things fresh on the restaurant side of retail with Cava's CEO, Brett Shulman. With 75 locations and more to come this year, Cava is bringing healthy Mediterranean fare to customers across the United States in a fast and friendly way. In 2018, Cava acquired Zoe's Kitchen with its more than 250 locations, ushering in a new era for the innovative fast casual restaurant group. Join us as we chat with Brett about creating the experiences customers crave and how the business will continue to grow in 2019 and beyond. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, my colleague, and my friend, Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, friend Bill.
How are you?
I'm hungry, and I'm a little bit nervous that I'm going to get hungrier.
You possibly
should have brought
can.
Some hummus and pita bread.
Yeah, tzatziki is really good, too. I will say that. Brett, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Bill, Sarah, thanks for having me.
We're glad that you're here. So, Cava. Well, before we get into Cava, tell us a little bit about Brett Shulman. Where are you from? How did you get to Cava?
Yeah, I'm actually a rare D.C. native. Grew up in the D.C. suburbs, like my partners, Ted Ike and Chef Dimitri. We're all Montgomery County kids. And started out really in finance after college, and had gotten to a point on Sunday nights that my wife said to me, I really don't like Sundays at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I said, why? She said, because you get in a miserable mood because you have to go to work on Monday morning. And so I certainly took stock in that and really thought about what I wanted to be doing. Felt like I was on this treadmill, time to make the donuts every day, and wanted to do something a little bit more fulfilling. It was a rewarding career from an income standpoint, but not from a personal or professional fulfillment standpoint. So took the entrepreneurial leap. Back then, it was with my wife in a natural snack food company.
Oh, wow.
That was called Snickety, that was sold in grocery stores and organic markets. And stayed with her through that journey for a couple years, where I then got introduced to my partner, Ted, by a woman who I was friends with in college who happened to be Ted's cousin.
And boy, said, that's a typical
world.
DC story.
That is a DC story.
knows who.
Yeah. And so, you know, I got to meet Ted Ike and Dimitri at the time. We had our first Cava Meze restaurant in Rockville, and they were about to open their second in Capitol Hill, which is still on Barracks Road today. You can go get some flaming Saganaki cheese or some lamb chops down there. Had started selling their dips and spreads that they served in the restaurant, crazy feta, harissa, tzatziki, and hummus in some local Whole Foods. And that business, they were having some struggles with. They had partnered with a customer and asked me for some help because I had experience in grocery at the time with my wife's natural snack food company. And we hit it off, and they asked me to come on board full time. So without them knowing, I by this time Capitol Hill had opened. I went down there with my wife, and we had dinner, and was just struck with the family atmosphere and the vibe of the restaurant, and the just the flavors of the food and how satisfying it was. But I didn't feel like I needed to go work out in the gym the next 4 days after eating. So I signed up with the guys. I said, I'm game. And we then really started talking about the idea of taking both what we do in the full service restaurants and what we were doing in Whole Foods at the time, and said, you know, we bring this to a larger audience and really leverage the healthy aspects of the food. And Chef Dimitri got all excited, and he said, you know, I've got this grill menu, but it's really a little bit more the street food we get in Greece when we go back and visit our family every summer, but love leveraging the healthy aspects of the ingredients. And that was back in 2010. And then in 2011, we opened our first fast casual in Bethesda, Maryland. And here we are, almost 10 years later.
You know, it's amazing. Yesterday, we went to the restaurant across from y'all's offices over in Chinatown, and the line was out the door. It was just amazing. And it never, I went down to get a refill. The line was still out the door. It's pretty amazing. I mean, people really are responding very favorably to that offering, and it's good food. So the guys came up with this concept, and it is basically, I don't want to go the organic route, but it's healthy food, right?
Yeah, well, as Ted likes to say, it's a culture, not a concept. And it's really rooted in their heritage and upbringing and bringing their modern spin. They're all sons of first-generation Greek-American immigrants, or Greek immigrants. They're first-generation Greek-Americans. Really, the idea of leveraging the culture and the food of their upbringing. So the idea of kava is really reimagining food and community through the Mediterranean way of life. And that is about connecting people. It's about empowering our teams. And it's about really flavorful food that, oh, by the way, is really good for you to eat.
Right.
So we kind of take out the challenge of figuring out, is this good for me to eat? What ingredients can I eat? And you can come in and not have to make any sacrifices or compromises and walk out feeling good about what you ate. And also feeling good about the people you interact with and the hospitality you experience inside our restaurant walls.
Having such a core culture, as you said, with the kava brand, you guys acquired Zoe's not too long ago in 2018. Yeah. How do you adapt or change or shape that culture into a organization that's bigger, right? It has far more locations than kava.
Yeah, bit the minnow swallowing the whale.
Yeah.
And I think what we were excited about is that there was a lot of shared values and shared heritage on the Zoe side. You know, we had one of our values is positivity, and they had a very similar value on the Zoe side. And we certainly have the shared heritage. Zoe's was founded back in Birmingham, Alabama by Zoe Casimus and her son, John Casimus, Greek, you know, of Greek heritage. So there was a lot of commonality and just the culture of this kind of one team mentality and serving the guest and hospitality that we felt that was going to make it a lot easier for us to acquire the business and more seamlessly integrate it into what we had already started at kava and the ethos that we had built.
Were you guys looking to expand or were you looking for an acquisition? How did you find Zoe's and realize that there could be a great synergy there?
Yeah, I'd like to say we had some grand master plan, but it wasn't like that at all. The opportunity came our way. One of Ron Shake, who's our board member now, had presented the opportunity. He had been contacted by the company, thinking about, you know, Zoe's had been a public company that was having some challenges and feeling the pressure of the public markets. And Ron, I had the opportunity to meet him about 6-7 years ago, and he had been an investor in kava. And the idea of, well, what if we put a group together and acquire that business, and you and the management team could help lead it in the private markets and make some of the changes that were proving challenging in the public markets. And, you know, I said, well, that's a big idea. Wasn't quite what we were expecting to do. But the more I thought about it, and as we looked into it, it really seemed like a logical evolution of how our brands evolved since the beginning. If you think back, you know, I mentioned that the guys founded kava with Kava Mezier, our first full service restaurant. And then we started to bring the popular dips and spreads that we served in the restaurant to grocery stores so people could enjoy them in their own homes and help elevate their own cooking in their kitchens. And then we took elements of both of those and put it in this fast, customized format that we call Walk the Line, where you build your meal to your preferences and tastes. And then we added digital ordering. Next week, or this week actually, and on Friday, we're going to be adding our pickup by car option, which is new, and our first pickup by car, digital pickup by car in South Charlotte. So you'll be able to order on your app, pick your promise time, and drive up to the window, and we can say, Sarah, here's your favorite kava bowl, and you can go on your day without having to even get out of your vehicle. And so when we looked at Zoe's, here was another way for us to express our Mediterranean culinary and meet people in more communities and in different communities that we already existed with a different occasion. So Zoe's is a counter service format versus our walk the line format. And so another way that we could differentiate, much like we do between our full service kava meze and our fast casual kava, that we could then bring in the Zoe's chain and be another expression of what we do with our Mediterranean food.
I think that when I was standing in line, I had gone to Cava with an idea of exactly what I was going to get. I think I changed my mind four times between the time I walked into the door and actually got to the counter. No doubt. And even when I was at the counter, I changed the order. Not after it had been prepared, but I mean, as I was standing here contemplating what I wanted. So culture is a lot. And in any business, we always talk a lot about culture, particularly in retail, and the importance of having the right culture to build a successful business. What is the culture of Cava?
Yeah, it starts with some pretty basic, simple ideas that have been fundamental to retail, but sometimes I think it gets lost. And that is thinking about our guests and thinking about our team members. It starts and begins with them. So we call our home office or our corporate office, we call it support center, because we exist to support our restaurant team members. Because if they're not succeeding, we don't exist. And it's really the culture of listening to our guests and providing feedback to our team to then empower those guest experiences. I mean, something as simplistic as we opened our first fast casual in 2011. It was about a year later, we're in the restaurant, and you know, I'm out in the restaurants at least once or twice a month visiting markets. It's so important to stay connected to the experience in the restaurant because you can't understand it from your desk. And standing there and hearing customers, at the time we had rice bowls and salads and pitas. And my wife occasionally would be like, can you get me a scoop of rice in my bowl? And then I'm standing there and I hear people in line, hey, can I get a scoop of rice in my salad? You know, can I add a scoop of rice to my salad? And I said, let's give people what they want. And this was in 2012. We did a greens and grains bowl, which now that food trend has become incredibly popular, where you see many restaurants doing combination greens and grains in the same meal versus salads and bowls. And so something just as simple as getting out there and listening to our guests helped us as a business not only provide their needs, but grow successfully. So it's really that culture of feedback and that culture of supporting our team members to make sure they're empowered to deliver on the consistency of food, the quality of food, and the quality of hospitality we're trying to put out every day.
You know, sometimes that all can get lost in technology. And y'all use a lot of technology in your business. Mm-hmm. How do you mesh the two? I mean, it seems to me that one of the things, you can rely on the technology as opposed to listening to the customer. You can rely on the technology as opposed to getting the feedback from the associate. How do you marry the two?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And it's such an important question for any business today, because technology is not going away. It's only going to increase. But I think people more and more are feeling the pain of, as much as technology connects us technically, it's disconnecting us from a humanistic standpoint. So we really try and view it through the lens of how do we use technology to rehumanize the restaurant experience or to enhance the human experience. And we think about it on both sides of the serving line. So on the team member side and the guest side. So how can technology be this quiet co-pilot and to our guest experience and help make it easy for them, whether it's the pickup by car and accessing great flavorful food that's better for them, or relevant recommendations. If they're not sure how to build their bowl, we can potentially surface great personalized recommendations. But then it frees up our team members or empowers our team members to, again, deliver great food and great hospitality rather than being stuck in the back trying to figure out what food they should order, how much they should prep. And then you can look at it on the food safety side. We are vertically integrated. So we produce all of our own dips and spreads that we sell in Whole Foods markets and other grocery stores. And we produce them at our production kitchens in Maryland and California. We deliver them in refrigerated trucks. And so we have sensors throughout our cold chain to make sure that the product stays at temp. So again, helping deliver on a great guest experience and a food safe experience. So we try and think about it in all those different ways on the customer side as well as the team member side.
Is it true that you guys looked at the kinds of personalities of team members that would thrive best in the positions, but also keep the line moving fastest?
Yeah, for something we're working through right now that it's the Moneyball idea in baseball, right? Or with sports teams, that restaurants a team sport. And teams that really work well and gel together, that know where to pass the ball before they're moving there, they operate, they perform better. So how can we build our shifts and build our teams to be really complementary to each other and synergistic to, again, provide that great guest experience? So there's a lot of fun ways to look at data and technology to, again, deliver the two kind of core principles to what we mentioned on where I talked about on culture, put our team members in a position for success, and then deliver a great guest experience for our guests.
So when you started out, we were talking about, you know, the Saturday, the Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We have a phrase for that. We call it the Disneys, because when I was a kid, Disney came on at 7 o'clock. And then when it was over at 8, you had to go to bed, and then you had to go to school the next morning. And so we suffer the Disneys thinking about the fact that, oh gosh, you know, I'm tomorrow morning, I got to get up and I got to get back to the grind. But not here at the National Retail Federation. No. We look forward to it.
But, still going to be in the office, me too.
But what motivates you, Brett? I mean, yeah. What is the thing that prevents you from suffering the Disneys on Sunday night?
Yeah, the Disneys are not hitting that snooze button on Monday morning. It's really rewarding to be able to do something that helps improve life for our guests, helps solve a problem for our guests, and helps grow people both personally and professionally within our organization. One of our area leaders, so they oversee a number of restaurants, started out as our general manager at our first location in Bethesda. And to see him grow with our restaurant, or people in our support center now be managing 5 or 6 people when they start as one person in one subject matter. So watching that evolution is kind of gets me energized every day. But also, you know, the idea that we are really connecting people and empowering people to live a healthier life, as well as a more rewarded life by eating our food and interacting with our teams and coming to these different communities. And again, it's really fun when we see people, you know, they've moved and they email us or contact us or tweet to us that a piece of their life is missing now that they've moved and there's no Cava in their town. So we have to go open Cava in their town to, you know, so to feel that impact that we're having on our guests in a positive way is, you know, it certainly makes me want to jump out of bed on Monday mornings.
We have a colleague, you have the Cava in by where I live down in Southeast by the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And, she made the comment the other day, she goes, I don't think I could live without my Cava. So you're obviously making a great impression on some people, that are very, very loyal to that brand. So, in speaking of loyalty to the brand, I mean, where do you go from here? How do we grow in this competitive marketplace?
Yeah, well, first it's digesting the acquisition of Zoe's, and it was really fun. We got out with some of our team members. We did a roadshow in the fall, and we visited 7 cities, and I think it was about 2.5 weeks, and visiting our operators. And so we held these regional town halls, and really listening to our team and saying, and then getting in the restaurants and meeting with guests and saying, you know, what do you miss about Zoe's, or what's changed over the last few years that we can get back to delivering that great guest experience that you love. So it's getting that business back to a real positive state and continuing to grow Cava. We've got 20 restaurants opening this year. We've opened 6 so far. So we've got a few more to go. And then it's continuing to create new ways for guests to engage with us and access our food, right? I think it's something like half the people in this country would like to lose weight. I think it's something like 80% of people in this country are conflicted with their diet versus what they actually eat. And when you can make it easy for people to reconcile those gaps and those differences, it's a huge win for everybody. So that's where we feel like we've really solved a problem where, again, we've got this no compromise food where you're not making sacrifices, you're not sacrificing flavor. You know, one of the things I like to say is after eating Cava, you don't need a snack or a nap. So it's kind of like Goldilocks, just right. So the more we can make that accessible, whether that's in the four walls of our restaurant, whether it's in grocery stores, whether it's when you're in your car, whether it's when we deliver it to your house or your office. That's really the idea going forward. is to create more channels and more access to our food and bring it in unique ways and be able to accommodate any occasion during your day. I think something that's interesting about food today is, you know, 15 years ago, you went to the grocery store, you bought the ingredients and you cooked at home, or you went out to a restaurant experience. I think that occasion is fragmenting all over the customer journey throughout the day and throughout day parts. And so as a brand, what do you stand for, and how do you meet customers on their terms? How they want it, where they want it, when they want it, but you're trusted. And for us, we want to be trusted in this Mediterranean, healthful, no compromise food.
We talk to a lot of founders on this podcast, and we talk to a lot of executives who are at retailers that have been well established, but you are in between. You're not a founder, but you're working with the founders. Can you talk about some of the opportunities that bringing in a fresh pair of eyes like yours and the challenges that you might face working right alongside the people who have put their blood, sweat, and tears from day one into it?
Yeah, I think it was really helpful in the sense I am a this kind of hybrid in that we co-founded the Fast Casual together. So when I joined them, it was just the two restaurants and we were in about 8 to 10 grocery stores. So having gone through that experience of founding the Fast Casual together, I think was really helpful. But I think most importantly is, and what I cherish most is the partnership we have in that viewing the world through the same lens and having the same philosophical outlook on, you know, just building something great and this passion for hospitality. I remember talking to the guys one of the first times we met, and they said, you know, we're not in the restaurant business. We're in the making people happy business. We're in the hospitality business. And it really is core to the Mediterranean culture. And again, expressing their upbringing in a larger way and in a positive way about connecting people and through food. And you know, I think everybody has such nostalgic memories about food and relation to food. And it's so personal to everyone. And it can have such a positive meaning to it in the right venue and in the right form. And that's where we think Cava can really be that positive reflection of it.
The one thing I noticed yesterday when I was at the restaurant was the variety of age of the people. Some people dressed in, you know, they were in suits and ties, people with backpacks, jeans, shorts, t-shirts. What is the typical customer at a Cava? Because it seems like there was nothing typical about the line that I saw.
That's something we're most proud of. We have an incredibly diverse dining room, whether it's age, gender, or ethnicity. And it goes back to that first time I went with my wife and had dinner in Capitol Hill. One of the things I was struck by is sitting in the dining room in Barracks Row and seeing whether it was a guy with his baseball cap on backwards or somebody kind of dressed up to go out on the town. Everybody felt right in the dining room, and it felt like it didn't matter how casually or dressed up you were, everybody fit. And it was just this experience that was elevated food, but not too elitist or too outside of people's reach or too stuffy. It was just very down to earth. And that's a reflection of the guys. I mean, and that's a reflection of our brand. We want to be down to earth and accessible for anybody. And you look at our real estate footprint, we are just as many units in the suburbs as we have, many restaurants in the suburbs as we have in the urban markets. So we have a pretty diverse real estate footprint. We're in big cities like Boston and Los Angeles and New York and DC, but we're in Charlotte, North Carolina and Raleigh, North Carolina and San Diego and Austin, Texas. So again, it's a reflection of the broad appeal of Mediterranean food and how, whether you're vegan or vegetarian, or you just want braised lamb and crazy feta, you can come to Cava and be satisfied.
How do you know that's what I had? That's weird.
Who doesn't love crazy feta, right?
I mean, it was, and the lamb's fantastic too, yeah. By the way. You know, growing up, one of my best friends, her name was Georgia Blazakis. And one of my favorite times was when her grandmother would come and stay with her when her parents went to travel. And the food that her grandmother would prepare was just extraordinary. But not only was it extraordinary, it was the quantity. And Georgia was always asking friends to please come over and eat, because yes, her grandmother would stand there and just say, "Yorkia, eat. And so, but it was always good and it was always healthy. And it's a phenomenal concept. Well, we're running close on time. And before we let you go, we have a section of this program and it's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
What we're going to do is we are going to ask you some questions, and you're just going to tell us the first thing that comes to mind. Don't think about it. Just answer the question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Sarah, start us off.
Best thing about Washington, D.C.?
Ah, the monuments.
Best advice you've ever received?
Don't overthink it.
Oh, amen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one, especially in the rapid fire. Exactly.
If you could,
I think you just gave me that advice.
If you could instantly master one skill, what would it be?
I'm overthinking it. No. Master one skill, it would be basketball. I was never a great basketball player.
What would it be for you, sir?
Oh, now you go for sports. Speed reading.
I think for me it would be playing the piano.
Ooh.
I think it'd like be that. Really interesting.
Oh, that's good. I changed my answer.
Can I change my guitar? I try and live vicariously through my daughter who plays guitar.
Yeah.
This is the problem with not overthinking it.
Yeah, truly. So what is the one thing that's always in your refrigerator, Brett?
Cava hummus.
Very good.
What's your favorite order at Cava?
It is a half super greens, half brown rice. Half chicken, half roasted vegetables, a little crazy feta, gotta have crazy feta, some roasted red pepper hummus, a bunch of toppings, and lately it's been our spicy lime tahini new dressing.
Wow. We need to have that transcribed. So when I go in next time, that's exactly what I'm having. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I'm an early bird.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
My parents thought I was going to be a ski bum or a ski instructor. That or a race car driver. I always thought maybe I'd be a race car driver. But
you've got the name.
Yeah.
That would work. Well, Brett, thank you so much for taking the time to basically give us a good sense of what it takes to be successful in this highly competitive business. Cava is absolutely fantastic. I can tell that from my own personal experience. And congratulations on the work that y'all have done, the growth you've experienced, and I believe the growth you're going to have in the future as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So if somebody were interested in learning more about Cava, where would they go as opposed to just a restaurant?
Oh, they could go to our website. Certainly follow us on our social channels. We have some great behind-the-scenes looks. We just did one on our production kitchen, how we make all these great dips and spreads every day. So our team does an amazing job on Instagram giving some behind-the-scenes footage.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, thanks again, and thank you, Sarah, for co-hosting today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You know, you can find more information about today's discussion on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send us your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Again, thanks for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. Until next time.